We've often been reminded that the Saviour and the one who is our great High Priest, he is one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is one who entered into the sorrow of that woman Bethany at the news of the death of Lazarus. And again, when we come into this chapter of Matthew 14, we see a little glimpse of it there in verse 13, where it says, when Jesus heard of it. When Jesus heard of it. And you go back a few verses and you'll know what that refers to, because it has to do with the beheading of John the Baptist. That forerunner of Christ, that one who exhorted men and women to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the one of whom the Lord was to speak when he said that there hadn't arisen a greater prophet among women. The passing of John the Baptist had an effect upon the Saviour. For it says, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. The Saviour withdrew himself. Withdrew himself from the scene that was before him for a time. From the crowds that came to hear him. And he withdrew himself into that desert place, and yet even there the crowds came, and as he saw the multitudes, he again had compassion on them. And what was to follow was something unexpected for the disciples, for of course we know there was the feeding of that great multitude with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And the disciples had a part to play. I like the way it is put, because it says that he blessed, he brake, he gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. The Lord didn't have to use the disciples, but he did. And he can use you and me. But if that was unexpected to the disciples, then what was to follow was even more so, where these disciples were concerned. For it was then that the Saviour was to send his disciples away. A reason for the hasty dispersal of the crowds may be given by John. In John chapter 6, in the words of verse 15, just listen to what it says concerning that time. It says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And the Lord knew what they were about. And the Lord knew what their intention was. And so he sought to disperse them with haste. Because they were coming to take him by force and to make him a king. But the Lord hadn't come to be made a king. He had come to die on that old cross. He is king tonight, and he's coming back as the King of Kings. You see, their motive was neither spiritual nor was it the will of God. And so the Lord sent his disciples away, lest they would be persuaded of the same. But with the sending away of the disciples, we find that they were to experience trouble for themselves. It's this that I want us to just consider for a few moments tonight. For here we have verses which will encourage God's people through similar experiences in life. And what we might entitled as the permitted storm. I want you to consider first of all the plan of the Lord. You notice the wording of verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him off to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The Lord constrained the disciples to get into that boat and to go before him onto the other side. He compels them to take their leave of him. And in these words, there's a sense that they loathe to leave without him. They could have said, like Moses of old, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. They didn't want to go that journey without the Lord. Without the Lord being in that boat, or without a boat waiting for him. But in obedience, they were to do so. And dear people, whatever the journey, whatever course that our life takes, it will be the desire of every believer to have the Saviour with us. But here was a time when the disciples were commanded to go in their own way, with the assurance that the Lord would join with them on the other side. But what a journey it turned out to be, for when the boat was in the midst of the sea, the storm was to arise on that lake, and the vessel was tossed about with the waves, and the winds were against it. Well, I want you to consider that the disciples were in the midst of that storm because the Lord had planned it so. Storm came upon them even though they acted in accordance to the will of God. They had obeyed the call of the Master. They had obeyed the will of the Lord to take their leave of Him and to go into that boat and to cross over onto the other side. And yet there was a storm. Did the Lord know that that storm would arise? Of course He did. For He's God. He's the creator of all things, including nature itself, and He's all-knowing. Did He deliberately direct the disciples into the storm? Yes! For we've seen that He compelled them. For you see, dear people, they were safer in the storm in the will of God than they were on the land among the crowds and out of God's hand. That's the thought. They were safer in that boat in the will of God in the midst of the storm than they were if they had stayed in the land among the great multitudes, yet out of God's will. We must not confuse the storms of the Scriptures, of course. There's a storm of correction, and that's what Jonah was to experience. But out of the will of God and disobeying the word of God where he was concerned, he had to be corrected. And you know he knew it. If you look at Jonah chapter 1 and the words of verse 12, you'll read this. He said unto them, that's unto the sailors, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He knew that he was disobedient. But there is also the storm of perfection, and that is what these disciples were experiencing. They were obeying the Lord. They were being perfected in their faith. It was that time before when the storm arose, but the Lord was with them in the boat in Matthew 8. Now, this was a step further. For this was them being tested with the Lord out of the boat. Child of God, remember, the believer will face the storms and the trials. The Lord has said that. John chapter 16, in the words of verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So there will be the trials, there will be the storms, there will be the disappointments and the afflictions. But consider that if in obeying the Lord we face those things, then the Lord will care for us and He will see us through them for the strengthening of our faith. It may be that the words of John 13 verse 7 are applicable to many a situation, and certainly where the Lord said these words to Peter that night in the upper room, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And we could write that verse over this experience that the disciples had. They were in a storm, but yet it was the plan of the Lord. Secondly, I want you to notice the praying of the Lord. The Savior could not be accused of not caring. But you'll notice that while the disciples were going through the storm, the Lord was alone upon the mountain praying. And you have it in the words of verse 23. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And herein the Lord set the example for his people to get alone with God. In that quiet place, the mountain was the closet of the Lord. The door was shut upon the crowds and the happenings of that day. And can I suggest to you that he was praying for them? For he was well aware of what they were going through. Mark in his account gives the added detail. Mark 6:48, and he saw them toiling in rowing. weren't getting very far because of the storm. He saw them toiling in rowing. He knew their every circumstance. He knew their plight. He knew their every need. Is that not a beautiful picture of the Lord as our great high priest, and he's interceding for his church? While the people of God toil through the seas of life with all the storms, with all the afflictions that cross our path, there is one, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ever living to make intercession for them, for us. And just as he saw the disciples, and just as he knew their need, then so he needs our every, knows our every need ere we ask him. And the storms are the worst. What encouragement it is to us that the Lord is praying, that we have one who feels the burdens that we feel, who knows the fears that we face, and yet who is in control of every situation. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It ought to be all the incentive that we have, that we need, to come to the Lord in prayer. Are there the storms at present in your life, in your circumstances? Then be comforted, be assured that the Lord, as your great high priest, while he has finished the work of your redemption and mine in the cross, he ever lives in the office of his great high priesthood. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. The praying of the Lord. Thirdly, I want you to see the presence of the Lord. It may have seemed that the Lord had forsaken them or forsook them. What a time this must have been for them to be without the Lord in their midst. It was an awful time when Mary and Joseph realized that the Lord wasn't with them. Went a day's journey without him. Took him 3 days to go back to where he was. And this must have been an awful time for the Lord not in their midst, in the midst of this storm. It is an experience which others in the scriptures have spoken about. You can think of the psalmist, for example, in Psalm 10. In the words of verse 1, he said this: "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" It seemed that the Lord had hidden himself. And yet he was assured that the Lord would arise to his aid. Or you come back into the book of Job. You think of godly Job in chapter 23. In the midst of his affliction, you know the circumstances that he was to go through. You look at chapter 23 and verse 8. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The Apostle Paul was another one. There may seem to be those times when the Lord is not near. There may be those trials, and the presence of the Lord comes later than what we expected or what we hoped. You see, in this instance, if you look at verse 25, it was in the fourth watch of the night. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And in other words, it is a description of how the night was divided into watches. For the sentry, for the one that was upon the walls. And it was the fourth watch, and the fourth watch was between the hours of 3 and 6 in the morning. That's when the presence of the Lord was to draw alongside them in the midst of the storm. It's interesting to note that it was at the same time when the Lord was to appear unto Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, at that time he troubled the Egyptians as they pursued the people of God. Chapter 14 verse 24 says, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch, The Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. How true are those words? He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The promise is given in Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord's presence may not be felt at a time in which we think, but nevertheless His presence will be known at the time, at that very time when we need Him the most. The Lord didn't come unto the disciples until the boat was as far from land as it could be. You see, the modernists will say, they pour scorn on the Lord walking on the water. And they'll say, sure, the boat was only in the shallows. Verse 24 nails it. For it says it was in the midst of the sea. It was as far away from the land as it could be. Every prop, every human hope was long gone, in which they might have depended upon. They could do nothing but have faith in the Lord. And oftentimes you or I might feel like that. Notice that the very thing which they feared, the raging sea, was that which brought the Lord close to them. Is it not the case that the storms of life that we fear, we discover are the very experiences, are the very means by which we're closer drawn to the Saviour? The Lord came walking to them on that raging sea, that sea that troubled them. The unfortunate thing was that when the Lord came near, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him because they weren't looking for Him. They thought it was a spirit. A patient waiting by faith will mean that we will know the Lord immediately to be in the midst. The presence of the Lord. Fourthly, is the purpose of the Lord. You see, one may ask, what was the whole purpose of the storm? Why did the Lord send the disciples into the midst of this lake? When you look at the words of verse 33, I believe we have the answer. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. It was so that they would grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the purpose. The disciples, when they saw the power of Christ in conquering and in calming the storm, they could only do one thing, and that was fall down and worship Him. If you come back to that other reference that I referred to in Matthew 8, the other time in which they were in the storm, Matthew 8 verse 27. You compare this verse to what we're reading tonight, you'll see how they were growing in the knowledge of the Lord. You see, it says there, but the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? But now their testimony is clearer. They don't say in verse 33, what manner of man is this? But their testimony is this, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The storm then was well worth it, wasn't it? Because it built up their faith. And it was to bring forth such a confession and such an assurance. Thou art the Son of God. They knew that He was King, even over nature. For He commanded the winds and the waves to obey Him. The disciples had helped to feed the 5,000, and then came the storm. You know, the same was repeated in Acts chapter 4. The words of verse 4 tell us that the same number believed. 5,000 believed. Then came the storm of persecution. But no doubt they recalled this incident. And they took courage in the midst of their trial. And what it just reminds us is, brethren and sisters, is this: that God has a purpose for us in all things. As our brother even mentioned on Sunday night past, all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Having come through the storm, the Lord was to heal many on the other side. And I think that reminds us of Calvary. Because there on the cross, the Lord endured the storm of God's wrath. The storm of God's wrath against your sin, or for your sin and for mine. And He was to endure it on the cross in His own body on that tree, so that by His stripes we are healed. Oh, the wonderful plan and purpose of God's redemption. Many were healed. In fact, it says, and as many as touched these touches were made perfectly whole. And thank God tonight we are found in a prayer meeting. God has made us whole. God has saved us and redeemed us with His precious blood. And the assurance is that one day we will be perfect in body and soul and glory itself. What a wonderful plan. In the meanwhile, those storms and those afflictions, they are for the purpose of making the gold more pure, burning away the dross, that we will shine as a precious jewel unto Him. I trust the Lord will bless a wee thought or two tonight. Plan of the Lord, the praying of the Lord, the presence of the Lord with them, and the purpose of the Lord, even of the disciples in the midst of that storm. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts for His own name's sake.